B-Pod Studios.
Let's get back to the phones. We go to Chris down in Atlanta. Hey, Chris, did you go to the Super Bowl?
No, I didn't go to the Super Bowl, even though they were readily available. Just want to speak on that, though. Speaking up, I got to tell you, man, two things. First, piggybacking off what that last guy said, it really should have been the Saints. And as much as our fan base like to say they're acting like wussies, I feel as though if that happened in Philly, they would have probably tore that stadium down and the whole Philadelphia fan base would have been at Goodell's office the very next morning.
Yeah, I mean, look, no doubt. When you're involved in it, it certainly is different. You have a much different view of what happened. I get that. That's where fandom comes in.
On top of that, like, if you really look at it, it seemed like they've been trying to push this guy, the media, McVay, to be like this, like, you know, new face of the NFL. Last year, they gave him Coach of the Year. When he shouldn't have got it, that should have really been Doug. Given what Doug went through, losing all his pieces and still making the Super Bowl and still winning the Super Bowl, even though they make that decision before the Super Bowl, he should have got it. And then this year, I mean, they put him in the Super Bowl. Let's just call it what it is.
Well, I don't think they put him in the Super Bowl. That says that there was some kind of collusion with referees to do that. And I don't buy that for even a half a second. But I get why they're going to try and, like, push that Sean McVay's. Look, he was 33 years old when he was hired. He was the youngest coach ever in the NFL. He's got players. Tom Brady's significantly older than he is. He's a young, good-looking guy with a supermodel wife, the whole thing. So I get why they're going to push that. Doug's like the everyman. You know what I mean?
Yes. And the last thing I would like to say, like, if the Saints went to the Super Bowl, this would have been, I mean, this was going to be NFL gold just from us as fans and watching the sport and loving the competition. You got Drew Brees, Tom Brady. At the end of their careers, first time they could have met up in the Super Bowl. That's gold. Ratings gold. This Super Bowl, I'm going to tell you, I have more traffic in Atlanta driving on a random Sunday or Saturday trying to get to the mall than I had all weekend this weekend.
Yeah.
That's how dry it was. It was terrible. And then also one last thing. Isn't this like the largest spread that or margin that New England beat a Super Bowl contender by? And it was only 13-3?
Was that their biggest win? I'll have to check. I'll look back at that. I'll see what the Patriots Super Bowl scores were.
And I'm going to get off the phone after this, because I want to gauge your interest. What is the interest down there for Meritage switching to this?
I think there's a lot of interest in Meritage. Yeah.
Could you think we could get it done for like Fultz in a second? I mean, because I think that's who we need, honestly. We need that stretch four. And I know he's three-tone sort of, but I think it's also he's just not engaged over there in New Orleans.
No, you're right. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. That's first-hand account from down in New Orleans. The Super Bowl 13-3 is the lowest scoring Super Bowl of all time. Now, I'm looking at the other Super Bowls.
He's right.
Is he? Yeah, because New England beat Atlanta by 6.
They beat the Seahawks by 4, the Eagles by 3,
yep.
The Panthers by 3, and the Rams by 3. Wow, that was the Vinatieri field goal.
Wow, that's incredible. So they had to been pretty tight. How about those 6 Super Bowl rings? Wow. That's a lot of hardware, man. They kept showing Giselle up there. She gets into it, though.
Yeah.
Like, she's not, like, too cool for the room.
Very supportive.
Yeah.
Very beautiful.
That's good. Yeah, yeah, she's a beautiful woman, no question. Justin in Delaware is on the Fanatic. What's up, Justin?
Hey, I was just calling in. You know, a lot of people have been calling in to talk about how this was some kind of defensive battle, and I just don't see that. Like, you know, the Rams were getting destroyed by the Patriots' defense, but the Patriots, it was just Tom Brady wasn't able to throw complete. Like, multiple times, he's got a receiver who's open. He throws to him, and he's, like, not putting enough power on the ball or something, and it's just not getting there.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think it was a lack of execution more than a defensive battle.
Exactly. Like, I don't think anyone shows up for the Super Bowl, like, with the intention of, like, we're not going to put points on the board. Like, it's just nonsense.
Yeah. Well, you saw that one play late in the game, and Tony Romo described it and broke out the clicker and showed it when the Rams tried to go down the field to Brandon Cooks, and they had the pattern which came right over the middle of the field wide open. I think it was like a second and 19 or something, too. And they would have got the ball all the way down to like the 20-yard line if they didn't score, even said. But, yeah, it was just like he was locked in on the guy, on Cooks, and didn't matter.
Just pathetic. Just an awful, awful game.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame because, like, we were already in Philly, and you know this, Justin. We were already kind of like, ho-hum because the Eagles won it last year.
Yeah.
But when you watch the Super Bowl, you're like, kind of like, come on, man. I want, like, at least a good game, you know? It's the send-off.
Yeah.
of football until the fall, which is a long time.
Long time.
And to go away with a game that was 13-3 and was arduous to watch kind of sucks.
13-3 is that's like generous. Like it was 3-3 for almost all of it. For almost all of the game.
Oh, it was 3-0 forever. Yeah.
3-0 forever, and then 3-3, and then in the last like 15 minutes, we have like an actual number that I can believe occurred.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thursday night Super Bowl.
Yeah, and the other thing too is thanks for the call. Yeah. You know, a couple missed field goals. Gostkowski missed one in the beginning. Then Zuerlein misses that one. When they decide to kick it and then maybe try an onside kick, it was over at that point anyway, but still. Now, here's the countdown, by the way, to the 2019 NFL season kickoff. The season will kick off, it's after Labor Day, that Thursday night. Eagles were on it last year. It'll be September 5th this year. Labor Day is early in September this year. September 5th is that Thursday night at 8:20 is when kickoff happens on NBC. Right now, at this moment, that is 213 days 8 hours, 11 minutes, and 30 seconds from right now. Yeah, that is a long time. The NFL, when it goes away after the Super Bowl, man, it seems like an eternity before it gets back. And the crazy thing is like the 17 weeks of the regular season goes by in the blink of an eye. Because boom, before you know it, you're at Halloween. Before you know it, it's Thanksgiving. And then Christmas and New Year's, and the regular season's gone. It's just gone. It feels like September through December, those 4 months go by faster than any 4 months of your life. Because from now February until August, when training camps are fully underway and preseason starts, feels like it takes 1,000 times longer. I know it's more months. But still.
Well, you got stuff to do during those months, too. Sunday's always booked. Monday night's booked.
Yeah.
You have work, but you also have Thanksgiving. You got the holiday season. So there's a lot going on during that time, too, to add to football.
Yeah, it distracts you from the ticking of the clock. It's crazy. It sucks.
I'll enjoy my summer, though.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if we'll enjoy the summer. If Bryce Harper can get off his keister and make a decision, then maybe we can enjoy our summer. Until then, I'm going to hold out some reservations. Because this, Andrew, this is getting out of control. If he doesn't sign this week after the Super Bowl, this is going into March.
Now, I've brought this up a couple times. One of the problems with it taking so long is because of the other free agents that are sitting around and waiting.
Yeah.
John Heyman tweeted this morning, pitchers and catchers report in 10 days or fewer to all 30 teams. There are almost exactly 100 free agents who remain jobless.
Are you kidding me? 100.
Now, some of those free agents are probably like, you know, the 25th man on the roster, but then there's a lot of guys, again, like Mike Moustakas is a name I always bring up. He could be an all-star on a team, but he's sitting there because they have to wait to see what the market value is for the other guys.
Jeez.
100 players.
By the way, John Heyman's a boob. He tweeted out, PED users should not be eligible to play in the Super Bowl the same season they are suspended. He's referring to Edelman. Dude,
he's not the only one that said that, though, yesterday. But I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, he tweeted out several things.
He served his suspension.
Yeah. Get over it. And he's tweeting out stuff about Kaepernick and Edelman being glorified. And then he's like the pariah. I lost 700 followers tonight so far, a personal record. Think I've cleared out most of New England. Like, dude, first of all, you have a 500,000 followers. Are you really counting how many you lost because of your dumb tweets?
He should start losing followers because all he says is, oh, Philly's still the front runners for Harper.
6-1-0.
Yeah, tell me something else, all right?
Yeah, thanks, John. Breaking news there. It doesn't matter if you're a front runner. Tell me when somebody puts a pen to paper. Come on, baseball. Step in. Rob Manfred should step in and say, guys, enough of this. Get this done. And put like a, you can't put a deadline down because it's not in the CBA. But put pressure on the situation. Because when you got 100 free agents right now, and we're in February, and the Super Bowl's over, it's a disgrace.
They should just make a draft of those 100 players.
They should. Yep. Absolutely. Because this is getting absurd. And baseball can't get out of their own way. 610-632-0975. A couple open lines if you want to grab them. We're talking about the Super Bowl and the fact that Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the New England Patriots are the greatest dynasty in sports history. Let go of your hate. Say those words. You'll be liberated, I guarantee it. Anthony off today. It's the Midday Show. Jason Martinez with you, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Satisfied sexually.
It's funny to me too.
Baldy! What a beautiful suit. Baldy, that's it. That's a beautiful suit.
I gotta get some Anthony in the show today. He's off today.
Doink.
Thankfully, we still have, you know, a lot of Anthony drops here, so.
Beautiful day.
The day after the Super Bowl, and now the countdown to yet another NFL season begins for a lot of us. Now, thank God the Sixers are an extremely compelling team in Philadelphia, and they'll carry the mail. The Flyers trying to become compelling, 7 points out of a playoff spot. They're back in the mix. And by the way, congratulations again. Carter Hart was the rookie of the month last month in January. Today, he was named the NHL's second star of the week. So the accolades continue to come in for Carter Hart. Are you getting interested, Andrew?
You see what I'm wearing today?
What do you got on?
I got a Philadelphia Flyers t-shirt, oh, man. Come on now.
Eagles hat?
No, I'm starting to get into the Flyers a little bit.
All right.
They're becoming fun to watch. They're moving faster. Like, there was points during, you know, before they fired Hackstall where you're sitting there and you're like, what am I watching right now? It was almost like last night's Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden they're playing like last year's Super Bowl where you're excited when you're actually watching the game.
Yeah.
Even the other night, was it the Rangers? They won 1-0.
Yep.
And they scored real early. The rest
Two
of that,
minutes into the game.
The rest of that game was highly compelling.
Yeah.
Even though it was basically, it was a shutout the rest of the game.
Yeah, but there was good chances flying up and down the ice, the whole thing. So, yeah, they're 7 points back right now, but they got 30 games to go and only two teams to jump over. Now to get into the playoffs. Now I want to talk to the Lose for Hughes people.
Last week we ran the Twitter poll and it was 67%, I believe, said Lose for Hughes again.
Yeah, they were still 12 points out at that time.
Now all of a sudden they're creeping up.
Yeah.
I wonder if we did that poll again, if it's now 50-50. Because if you start losing now, your chances at getting Hughes aren't as great.
No, they go down. I mean, the worst record has an 18.5% chance. They had a 2% chance of getting, or 1.8% chance of getting the top overall pick when they went into that draft for Nolan Patrick, and they got, and were drafting 13th. So, the odds go down markedly, you know, every game that you win at this point. 610-632-0975, that's the number to get in. I gotta ask you about this article that came out from Tim McManus on ESPN.com. He was one of a couple of reporters to sit down with Carson Wentz. And I want to give you a couple quotes here. I'm going to ask a couple questions. I got a couple tweets I want to read as well. 610-632-0975. That's the number. And Andrew, I'm going to pose these to you as well. So here's the one quote that really sticks out to me. He goes about the Joe Santaliquito article at Philly Voice. He said, it's never fun to read, but to an extent, you look at it and be like, quote, well, if someone did have that perception of me, why? What have I done wrong? What can I be better at? I realize that I have my shortcomings. Yes, I can be selfish. I think we all have selfishness inside of us. There's human elements to that that I really look at and say, well, I can get better. Now, we know when the story came out, a team official, Tim puts this in his story that he put, that a team official said the story has no legs, therefore discounting it. Sal Palantonio went on the record and said a senior team official described Carson as a good person with great character. And I believe those things. And Carson also went on to say, I'll learn from it and we'll learn that A, things shouldn't kind of come out the way it did. And B, the pieces that I can learn from it and be a better teammate and player and all that stuff, I will grow from. But other than that, I just got to turn the page. And he also said that initially he tried to, quote, play detective to figure out who contributed to this story before deciding it ultimately didn't matter who those people were. I will tell you that I don't believe that statement. I think he still wants to know who those people are, and I will probably do whatever he can to find out who those people are. And I think some of those people will actually come to him and tell them that he said that they said these things, and, well, I didn't know he'd be using a story, and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing if he does figure out who it is, because he can then talk to them.
Yeah.
I mean, Carson Wentz seems like a guy who, you know, he's a man. He'll talk to you face to face. Like, if somebody here or in my life has a problem with me, I would rather you say it to my face so we can talk it over instead of being standoffish. And then I'm like, dude, what's your problem?
Yeah, it's like, and say it to my face. We don't need to discuss it in an email where tone and all that can be misinterpreted. And I will tell you this, too, that, you know, they never want this stuff to get aired out that way. And I didn't like the article in the sense that I thought it was very one-sided. It never presented the other side. I told Joe this, Santa Liquido, when I saw him a week and a half ago. But I will tell you that the quotes that he used in the story were real. He showed me screenshots of texts and all of that stuff. And I knew who the guys were that didn't go on the record but told him these things. But does this story and what Carson Wentz saying, you know, not refuting this story, he refuted a couple of things about Groh and the bully stuff, but does this vindicate now Joe Santoliquido from Philly Voice? Now, I got a couple tweets here I want to read. Marianne tweets in. She goes, listening to your show today, the article was a total hatchet job. He doesn't like Wentz, obviously. Total jackass. So much respect for Carson after his response. You can try to change the perception of him, but damage done. But Marianne, the thing, I will tell you this, and you may think it was a hatchet job, and you're right to think that. That was my initial response when I read it, too. Because I didn't think the other side was presented, and I didn't think there was enough context in the quotes that were anonymous in the story. And I didn't think that the Eagles or Carson had ample time to present a response. But that being said, the quotes are the quotes. And they do stand on their own to some extent. And is it shocking that players will go off the record about a quarterback or a prominent figure in a locker room? No, that happens all the time. When you get six and you can cite them, then you got a story. Now, again, I didn't like the way the story was framed. But does Carson, in saying what he said, vindicate Joe in any way? Because people were giving Joe death threats.
Let me ask you, it was all BS.
Name your sources.
Let me ask you something, because you said you saw some of the texts.
Mm-hmm.
Were the texts like, yeah, he can be selfish at times, or the texts like, they were selfish. I can't, like, not can't stand him, but he gets in his own way.
They were what they were in the story. You saw the quotes in the story. It wasn't like matter of fact. He was probing. Joe was. And these are the responses that he got. So you can't say that they were leading or anything like that and taken completely out of context and the people didn't know exactly what they were saying. They knew what they were saying. Did they know it was going to be used for a story in combination with five other sources or and multiple sources? I don't know. But, and I will tell you that I know that one of them was from somebody that defended him and came out with outcry that the story was BS.
I also wonder if there was some sort of agenda, because we have seen the tweets, right? Those tweets are out there. Joe Santoliquido put out those tweets himself,
yeah,
saying that he's going to wait for Carson Wentz to fail and he's going to see if people back him up and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's so part of the equation.
I wonder if he heard from one player that Carson's selfish and then he did this digging and tried going deeper and deeper until finally somebody said, yeah, you know what? He is selfish. He doesn't want to do things Nick Foles' way. And then if you read the story from, you know, Tim McManus and the other guys that were there, Carson Wentz admitted, yeah, I am selfish. I believe that
every quarterback
I play
is
well in this way, this type of offense. Yeah. I don't play the same way in Nick's offense. And there was one part, one of the quotes that he said, he basically admitted, listen, there were points in the season where I paid attention more to my injury than my teammates. Can you blame him? The guy had a season-ending serious knee injury.
Yeah.
And there was points where he was looking at his rehab a little bit in front of his teammates.
Human nature.
I don't blame him for that.
No, it's human nature to act that way. Absolutely. And we can sit here and say, well, if I was in that position, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't. No, he was frustrated. He was in pain. He was dealing with the knee not being fully healed. He was dealing with a back as far back as I know from October 7th. In pregame of the Vikings game, I know he was having major back issues. To the point where he could barely sit. And yeah, pain will make you act out of character. No doubt about it, right? It will. Nagging pain, back pain could make you a son of a you-know-what. But does this vindicate Joe in any way? Because people were saying he totally made it up. and it was just a straight up, he had an agenda. Now, he might have had an agenda, but he didn't make it up. That much I'll tell you. And Carson pretty much verified that.
I believe that the quotes are out there. But then again, the way that that story was written, that story was a...
It was one-sided.
Totally one-sided.
No, totally agree with you.
It was all damning
more.
Of Carson Wentz, and yeah. It wasn't, hey, let's get the other side. And yeah, okay, you don't want Zach Ertz quoted in it because that's his go-to guy, that's mm-hmm. his target. He was in his wedding. But you can find other players on that team. You can find a Lane Johnson on that team. You can easily go up to him and say, hey, one of your teammates, I'm not going to name who, said this about Carson. What do you think about Carson?
Yeah.
That's not that hard.
No, you're right. You're right. And look, there's 53 guys on that active roster. There's going to be jealousies, and there's going to be those things. There's players that always go, ah, the quarterback gets all the glory. I'm down here in the trenches protecting his ass. You know, or, you know, I'm on the other side of the ball. Offense gets all the glory. We're over here. We carry the mail more than they do. And the jealousy's coming in. And then you can couple that with the fact that he's going to get paid massive amounts of money. You don't think players have resentments towards guys like Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, even though Brady takes a cut-rate deal every year? 610-632-0975. That's the number. I'm not asking for people like to apologize to Joe Santoliquido, but you know, to me, his reaction to it verifies that he knows that he is culpable for being selfish and maybe out of character last year. He talked about it. Ty's in there shaking his head. Come on in here. You want to debate this? I'll debate it with you. Because to me, when you're injured and stuff and you act out of, I would go on that one because that mic's broken. I broke it earlier. Tyrone Johnson. By the way, Tim McManus will join Mike today. What time will T-Mac be on?
4:10.
Yeah, and he published the article on ESPN.com. If you haven't read it, certainly check it out. It's great. So you'll hear from T-Mac at 4:10 today. Now, what are you disagreeing with?
What I disagree with is I don't think it adds any credence to the story whatsoever that Carson admitted he was a human being.
Mm-hmm.
I think what he did was he connected dots. If you go to any locker room, tell you what, you go to any workplace, not any just locker room, any workplace,
yep.
You can find someone to say, oh, this guy is selfish, especially when you're losing.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You can find anybody. So
yeah, winning cures all, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So my issue with it is, the number one takeaway, the thing that I was waiting for was Carson to admit about how he was dismissive. That was the one thing he refuted today.
With Mike Rowe.
Right.
Yeah.
No. That the veteran player came to him.
Oh, yeah. He said he couldn't pin that down.
Which tells me that part's fake. And to me, that was the story.
So you took that out of the initial story as the biggest
story,
thing.
Okay. This is what I need. Because mm-hmm. somebody's saying a guy's selfish. Now, I know in this building, not everybody likes me. Not everybody likes you.
Yep.
Not everybody likes Mike. Go down the line. But if somebody went to Mike man to man and said, Mike, blah, blah, blah. Somebody went to you. Somebody went to me man to man. And you just dismissed them. I say, okay, now that says something about that person's character.
Yeah.
And the fact that Carson, the one thing he disputed was that part, that to me cuts the legs out of the story completely.
Well, it doesn't cut the legs out because Carson could be just either selectively remembering that.
That makes him a liar. And that means he's terrible. I don't believe he's a liar.
Yeah, maybe he knows that that's the one thing about the story. Like, you took that. And that's the one thing about the story that could make him look bad, so he refutes that. It's human nature to do that. Going, well, that part, if that was true, if this is true, and I know it's true, but I'm going to deny that part.
No, I don't think that's the case. I think he would have said, yeah, I was wrong for that. So he's completely forthcoming, but he just lies about that part, because that wouldn't be a half-truth. That would be a lie.
Yeah.
To say.
No, I agree. I don't think he operates that way.
Right. And that's the issue.
And to me, he fell on his sword a bit here, too.
But the other part is, I think that what he's saying is, if someone feels that way, I have to do a better job. But I don't think that means that the writer did the right thing when he wrote the story.
Yeah, it's still too one-sided. No
right,
context.
I think that it makes me think less of him, unfortunately.
Because
if Carson's such a bad guy, and that's the point of that story was for me to come away with it thinking Carson's a bad guy. Why is he so measured when he speaks to the reporters if he's so terrible?
Yeah.
Because terrible people can't hide being terrible.
No, because you are what you are.
Right.
I agree. But and look, it's not the first time a quarterback would be selfish or a quarterback could be difficult. You know, people that are really good at their jobs and extremely important positions like being a franchise quarterback, they're stubborn. That's right. How they got there. You know what I mean?
Right. And the other part is, as far as him not wanting to run the quote-unquote Foles plays. This year, when it really mattered, the Foles plays didn't work.
Yeah.
The league caught up. The Saints caught up to the Foles plays. And he knows that.
That worked last year in the playoffs.
Right. To win going forward, I have to do the Wentz plays.
Yeah.
Because the Foles plays don't work.
And they're not designed for him. They don't accentuate his strengths.
Right. So that's why it actually, in my opinion, just one person's opinion, hurt the initial story, because I keep looking for a glimmer, just a glimpse of this terrible person that was written about in that story. And every single public opportunity, I don't see any of it.
Okay.
I'm just looking to see a little bit of it.
But you don't refute that the quotes are the quotes.
Oh, the quotes could very well be real.
Yeah, because you know, in every workplace, those things are said.
Right. Now, I do
and nobody
question,
puts their name on them publicly.
Right. I do wonder how important those players are. Mm-hmm. I do wonder how good those players are. That part I question.
Okay.
Like, was it a really good player?
Well, one of the ones that refuted on Twitter that was a source was a really good player.
Yeah, okay. But also, when I see screenshots, I can't go by names for me to believe it.
Okay.
In this era, I only have... Because
you can doctor anything.
Right, well, I can say that Trump texted me if I just change your number to Trump in my phone.
Wrong.
Show that. So that's why, for me to believe it, I have to see numbers. Names do nothing for me in phone anymore.
Well, I mean, the thing, though, too, is like you see the whole conversation.
But even so, that conversation...
I mean, you could sit there and collude with one of your friends and make that happen. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, that could be a practice squad level player. That could be a backup player. And then I say, instead of saying it's...
Change the name on the contact.
Number five wide receiver, now it's number two wide receiver.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying.
And that's what makes me uncomfortable.
There's always a level of... Is everything on the up and up?
In this era.
Yeah. That's just because that's the way it is now. No, I agree.
I've seen that with marriages, too, where a person says, oh, your husband texted me, and then it turns out that it was just one of her friends with his name in the phone. And did you see the screenshot?
Devious behavior, Ty.
Listen, you know those people out here are crazy, man.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. All right, so Tim will join the Mike Bisignelli Show coming up today at 4:10. Thanks, Ty. 610-632-0975. You know, I see both sides of this thing. And FPT Center on Twitter says, context of the quotes are crucial. Was Joe getting comments on Wentz after the Saints game? Frustrations would have been at their peak. Well, I don't know the exact date. I didn't mark that down when I saw what I saw from Joe. But I'm sure that was probably a good time for it when they got belted 48-7. 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. Let's go to Mark in Allentown on the Fanatic. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, Jason. How are you? Guys, I like your show.
Thank you.
I just it's funny. I worked with Joe like another lifetime ago, like 20 years ago in a whole other job. So it's funny to be hearing his name involved with all this. And I know, you know, his writing on boxing and things like that. My question to you, Jason, when you said to him, wow, I thought it was really one-sided, did he ever reply to that? Was he irked?
Oh, no, he's admitted to the fact that he could have, a big mistake that he made was not giving them a chance to go on the record prior to the story being released that day on that Monday.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And again, it's a whole other, I was in journalism again 20 years ago, but it's a whole other time now. When you're looking at tech, I just wonder too, did he then say, whoa, I need to pick up the phone and talk to these guys?
Well, there was a lot of conversations in person too.
Okay.
That he has recorded, yeah.
Awesome. All right. Now that's just what I wanted to know. Thanks, man.
All right, man. Appreciate it, Mark. Thank you. I mean, look, there's a lot to deep dive into here. But, I mean, when the rubber meets the road, though, you know, and based on what Carson said, and this is what I really take out of it, is that, like, again, like, I'm, for lack of a better term, I'm proud of Carson Wentz for not just refuting it, but to take inventory from it, to look at it and go, you know what? Hey, you know, I probably did have some fault this year. I wasn't the most pleasant teammate to be around, and maybe I wasn't the best teammate to be around. So he took some ownership. And to me, that's like the ultimate sign of a leader. It could have been really easy because we saw the public support he got and the people saying, not true, not true, not true. And none of the fans wanted to believe any of it was true in any way, shape, or form. So it would have been really easy to say, it's total baloney. I have nothing but respect for everybody in that locker room. Do we all get along perfectly? No. But he could have denied every aspect of that story and people would have believed it because they want to believe it. But he didn't. He went on the record and said, hey, I got to look at myself. I got to look how I acted, how I was as a teammate. I got to be better. I was selfish. He says everybody has it in themselves to be selfish. So I appreciate that he said. I just appreciate that he said the things that he said in this article. He said, yes, I can be selfish. I think we all have selfishness inside of us. There's human elements to that that I really look at and say, well, I can get better. That makes you proud of the quarterback. He's not perfect, and he knows it. 610-632-0975. Some open lines. Top of the hour, we got Bring the Heat and another keyword. Chance for you to score $1,000 in our Big Green giveaway. So stay tuned. That's on the way. But I got to tell you about Window Nation, because smart shoppers know that the best deals, they're always in the off season. You're going to buy a snowblower? When do you buy it? You buy it in the off season. Snow boots, sweater, you buy those in summertime and save tons of cash. Wait until fall, you pay full price. That's when the demand is there. Window Nation knows this as well, and they're offering an amazing deal where you buy two windows, you get two free, and get 0% financing for 5 full years. So if you buy four windows, guess what? You'll get 4 free. 8, you get 8 free. No limit. Plus, if you call by Sunday, the purchase of a house of windows, and they'll pay your heating bill until the new windows are installed. You're going to save thousands of dollars. That's Window Nation. They'll do a room-by-room install to cause as little disturbance in your home as possible. Plus, they're paying your heating bill. This is a great deal. Window Nation needs to keep the factory busy and the installers working during the slower months. And after this nasty cold weather that we just experienced last week, you probably know by now that you need new windows. They're leaking cold air into the house, costing you money. So buy in the off season and pay the lowest prices of the year guaranteed. Call 866-90-NATION and visit windownation.com. Again, 2 free windows with every 2 you buy, no limit, 0% financing for 5 full years. Pick up the phone, dial 866-90-NATION or visit their website, windownation.com, and tell them Jason sent you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It is the Midday Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Anthony off today. Jason Martinez with you a day after the Super Bowl. 13-3, your final, and a thriller. Not really. Not a thriller of a Super Bowl at all. Commercials seemed kind of lame. The Dietz Nuts commercial and the NFL 100 commercials were the only ones where I was like, okay, that's pretty good. Other than that, eh. Nothing really moved me.
Actually, you know what? The Stella commercial was pretty good.
Yeah, that was early.
Because at the end, they had the most interesting man in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to be the Dos Equis guy. But they kicked him off because they wanted the younger guy.
That's right.
So then I think
he went to Stella.
A little bit of slap in the face with Dos Equis people. I don't think they're owned by the same company. They could be, and I could be wrong, but I thought that was pretty good work by Stella.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a shocker. And the halftime show was pretty much, people were down on it. They didn't think that Maroon 5 did a nice job. Jack Elsie, because Maroon 5 was great. Travis Scott was not. Big Boy was great. So I thought it was a decent halftime show. I love the fact that Big Boy came with a huge fur on.
Coming in on the car?
He looked like that thing was like the Michelin Man fur. That thing was, that was a thick fur. Yeah,
PETA wasn't happy about it. They tweeted about it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, they didn't like it.
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, no matter what you do, you offend some group. No question about that. But no, I thought it was good. I thought Gladys Knight did a nice job on the anthem.
She did.
Hit the over.
She did.
She took some liberties with it. She didn't go chalk anthem in its phrasing, but I thought she did a nice job. I thought the whole presentation
was good.
She
held that final note just long enough
to catch the over.
People.
Yeah. She goes, I'm going to slam. She told her people to load up on the over. I don't know how we did on the prop bets.
Yeah, Anthony's got the sheet, so we'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah.
I know. I hit the Paul George over Reynolds. That was the one you guys were saying it was a lock.
Oh, okay.
Paul George finished with like 37-4, which gave him 41, which was more yards than Reynolds.
Oh, I forgot about the cross sports props. I forgot to check on any of those. I know the opening kickoff was not a touchback.
Yeah, I got that
touchback.
One wrong.
I had it as it would be returned. But all said and done, the Super Bowl was a bit of a clunker. Ratings were way down for this Super Bowl, lowest since 2008 or 2009 technically, when the Steelers beat the Cardinals against Arizona. year the Eagles lost to the Cardinals.
Super Bowl, too.
Yeah.
That was when James Harrison brought it back right before halftime.
Yep. Yeah. This one was just a bit of a clunker, man. Like, the game just wasn't good. And it wasn't like it was, like, stellar defense in the sense that, like, big defense. It was, like, more just a lack of execution. It looked like a Thursday night preseason game. It looked like the Hall of Fame game, just the starters were in the whole time.
Yeah, even that interception by Gilmore at the end, when he threw it up, you saw it coming.
Oh, yeah.
You could see he had the read on the ball, and you're like, pick, here it comes, game over.
Yeah. So does, what's his name, Josh, why am I blanking on it? Josh Gordon. Does he get a Super Bowl ring?
Yeah, he already put out a picture of it.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
They got the ring already for him?
I think so.
Oh, jeez.
Saw him put out an Instagram post. How do you feel about that?
That guy deserves no ring.
Hey, Adam Eaton won a ring for the Phillies.
Yeah, he didn't deserve it either. That's unbelievable. Coming up in 7 minutes, 6 minutes, we will give you another keyword, a chance to win $1,000 in our Big Green giveaway. Stay tuned for that opportunity. And also, Bring the Heat is coming. Now, was the Bring the Heat line humming pretty good, Andrew?
People complaining about the game.
Yeah.
That was pretty much it. I mean, there weren't people reacting to actual stuff that was happening in the game. It was just like, this game sucks.
Yeah.
I just wasted time.
Wow. 610-632-0975. Guy just tweeted me, Jack Ellis, he goes, this is a joke. ESPN put out their way too early power rankings for the 2019 season. And the LA Rams are at the top of the power rankings. The second team is the Kansas City Chiefs. The third team is the New Orleans Saints. The fourth team is the New England Patriots. Fifth, the Chargers. Sixth, the Bears. Seventh, the Colts. Eight, Seattle. Nine, the Houston Texans. And 10, the Baltimore Ravens.
So no Philadelphia Eagles in the top 10. Nah. Huh?
Back to being disrespected. We all we got, we all we need. We
can hungry dogs run faster.
Oh, we can just start out with Dog Mash to start next season. That'd be great. 610-632-0975. And I want to ask the people, can you make the admission? I know this is hard in this city because you lost the Super Bowl in Jacksonville back in 2005 to the Patriots. But can you do it? Can you utter the words, the New England Patriots are the greatest dynasty in the history of sports? I'm telling you, when you do, it's liberating. Just strip the hate out of your mind and just come to the realization that they are the greatest dynasty in the history of sports. This run is epic. 9 Super Bowls, 6 wins. Division champs 17 of 18 years. I know their division stinks. I get it. But it doesn't mitigate the fact that they're the greatest dynasty in the history of sports. 610-632-0975. Chris in Williamstown's on the Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
You know, Jason, I was going to call their quarterback the GOAT until you just did that. So that I went out the window.
Why? You know, if you were going to call him the GOAT, you believed it.
He is the GOAT.
Yeah.
Tom Brady is the GOAT. But, you know, it's just the fact that you wanted me to, you want the people to admit that. That's where I just, like, I turned the car around and I went back home, you know.
Why, so, how can you not admit it? It seems like it's painfully obvious
because
to
it
me.
It seems like it focuses around two people.
Well, they're the Belichick people that have been there, Brady. Yeah. Which makes so, it even, I mean, more incredible.
Yeah, but to imply dynasty means that you've got great players at all positions, doesn't it?
No. Dynasty is on one thing and one thing only, championships with a core. Now, the core is only two guys. You're right, because it's gone on so long now. But that when you talk about Belichick and Brady, you're talking about the greatest quarterback of all time and the best coach of all time.
Absolutely. You know, I'm going to pick your brain. Do you think the Flyers got any shot in heck to keep the winning streak going tonight?
Oh, I think so tonight. Yeah, Vancouver tonight. Vancouver.
I'm going to lay that money on the Fly Guys.
You're going to lay the money down tonight?
I'm going to put like probably $5-$10 down on them to pull a game out tonight. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But, you know, and as far
minus
as
minus 160 on the money line.
Yeah. The payouts aren't so good. But as far as the Santa Cleo article, you know, here's where I have a problem with it, because the fact that you put out the article creates a problem in the locker room, because now you know people have spoken up and you know, supported Nick Foles and not Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is the guy. That doesn't never been. And Doug Peterson said that they stick behind this guy. Like, does this not make you think that certain players might check out if things don't go are the same way they were last year with Carson? That the players that did feel that way about Nick Foles may check out and they may show their colors?
Well, I don't know that they're going to check out. They're professional athletes. I don't know. If guys check out, then that's a bigger issue. But to me, in what you said, I can't buy. Is it the media's job that this getting out, they should bury this because it may cause an issue in that locker room when it's clearly a story? And the media's job is not to protect the Eagles. They don't work for the team.
I mean, it is an issue. It is a top, something to talk about, but doesn't it not create a problem now?
Yeah, but that's not the media
has to figure out.
Yeah, but the problem exists already as an underlying issue. It's not the media's job to learn about that and not report it.
That's not something you come out and talk about out loud. That's something you keep behind closed doors.
Well,
and that's why
but players did.
Yeah,
players
well,
did talk about
the problem.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Chris. That is the problem. Is that this was going on? So it's an underlying issue. It's not the media's job to bury it. Now, I will tell you that there are guys and that you'll get a story from time to time and they won't report it. Like, they know it to be true and they won't report it because, you know, it'll hurt their standing with the team to get information going forward. Or you'll use that as a chip to say, hey, you go to like the general manager and you say, hey, I know this. And I know this happened and the GM knows, you know, but I'm not going to report it. And then he'll get some favorable treatment because he didn't report it. That goes on. That's called playing the game. But that definitely happens. I know that for a fact that happens. 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. 610-632-0975.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.